Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go, here we go. We got to have a drive.
23 left, 23 left. One, two, three.
This is the Buffalo Bills postgame show. Here's Nate Geary.
All right, let's get you right to the podium where Josh Allen is now speaking.
We got to carry that over and got to find a way to win that one. But again, we shouldn't have even been in it with three turnovers. So that's just piss poor offense.
Josh, they seem to try to get Dalton out of the game in the second half. What were they doing to keep him out of the game?
Meaning what now?
He did better in the first half, but in the second half, they seemed to take him out of the game more.
I thought he played good throughout the entire game. Again, we'll watch the film and move on.
What happened on the first turnover, the end around to Dawson?
Yeah, just a bad snap exchange.
Okay. Does this feel like a game more that you guys lost the game more than they wanted? Not to take anything away from them, but you feel like you guys really opened the door for them?
I mean, respect to them. They came in. They knew what they had to do. They took care of the football. We didn't. It was a... If you look at it from the paper point of view, I mean, a pretty pivotal game in terms of what we could have done with this, and we didn't take advantage of our opportunity. I thought our defense played well, and they bailed us out a couple times, but just not going to win many NFL games turning the ball over three times.
The running game seemed to struggle a little bit today also. It just didn't seem like you guys got your rhythm. Throughout the course of the game, what were they doing? Some things that took you guys out of sync.
They were making it hard to run. They were getting a push up front. They had a good game plan, so we gotta adjust.
Dalton's first career 100-yard game. Just what was he doing well tonight?
He's beating man coverage. Saw a lot of it tonight. He's doing a good job of being friendly and making some plays and. Yeah.
That said, it didn't seem like a lot of other guys were winning downfield for you tonight. Josh, can you kind of tell us just what you were seeing there?
Yeah, I mean, got to throw it, got to catch it. Again, turning the ball over in the red zone, I can't do that. That's just, that's a recipe for disaster.
Do you think you need more? I mean, Keon had a touchdown, but like Josh Palmer was really quiet again. It just seemed like it was a quiet night for a lot of guys outside of really Dalton.
Yeah, we'll watch the film and we'll be better.
Sorry if you were asked this, but what did you see on the interception and the way the play developed? And
Yeah, playing man. I saw Khalil, and I just left it a little inside, and the kid made a good play.
When at times it is as much of a struggle, I guess, to put up points, how hard is it not to force throws, specifically like that interception?
I don't think it's that hard. I really don't think that was a force. It was just a bad ball. I thought Khalil did a good job. He was coming friendly, and I just left it inside.
All right, there's Bills quarterback Josh Allen. We'll get you the full interview. He got up to the podium very quickly, so we did miss part of the beginning of that, but we'll get you that this evening before all is said and done. But that was Josh Allen, and it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. A lot to get to tonight. The Bills lose 23-20. I'm Nate Geary. Welcome. Sorry, a little bit of chaos tonight as, you know, the Bills lose and then, you know, Josh Allen gets to the podium very quickly tonight. We're waiting for Bills head coach Sean McDermott, so we'll get you him. We'll get you more locker room reaction as well. But first, let's get you to the Skyworks stats of the game. Skyworks Equipment Rental, building America from the ground up. A miserable game. You know, we can get into some of the individual statistics, but I think the ones that really stand out to me, 11 penalties for 90 yards and 3 turnovers in this game. They had the time of possession with 34-31 in this game. The Bills had more plays, more yards. Let's see. More rushing. I mean, yeah, the Bills offensively did enough, I think, in this game without the turnovers to win the football game. The problem is they beat themselves and had a lot of turnovers. But for me, this game was, I think, kind of in the works. This is the third straight week this offense has not had good play calls, had good execution, and they'd been bailed out by Josh Allen making some great plays. And today, the only plays really working were Josh Allen scrambling and Josh Allen making some great throws down the field and Dalton Kincaid. Otherwise, in a couple of, you know, screen passes, which I guess are always going to be there for Khalil Shakir. But to me, what they showed on offense tonight is what they had been showing over the last 2 weeks against two of the worst defenses in football. This was not, the Patriots defense is not a top 10 unit. They are not barn burners on the defensive side of the ball. And I don't even necessarily agree that this is some Mike Vrabel coaching job. The Bills had shown this sloppy. I mean, the penalties in the first half were some of the most frustrating penalties I've ever seen. You know, Sean Hockley, whatever, you know. Bad calls. Sure, they happen. But man, I think times tonight, just the Bills, untimely penalties, boneheaded mistakes, false starts, holdings. I mean, it's really hard for an offense to get into a rhythm when they're starting drives first and 17, which they did twice in this game. So yeah, a lot of frustration all around. 803-0550, the number to call. We're going to get to your thoughts tonight. But before that, let's take a timeout because we've got Sean McDermott on the other side. So we'll try to get a break in now before Sean hits the coach's podium. So let's do that. And on the other side, we'll continue. We'll start taking your phone calls at 803-0550. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Here's the snap. Hold is down. Kick is plenty long enough. And it is good. 15 seconds remain on the clock, and the Bills are in deep trouble now. Down 23-20. They could be staring their first loss of the season square in the face.
There's your New Era signature play of the game. It's brought to you by New Era Cap, the official cap of Josh Allen and the NFL. Welcome back to Buffalo Bills postgame. I'm Nate Geary. We're waiting for Bills head coach Sean McDermott. The Bills lose tonight 23-20 on that field goal that you heard there. Time now to get connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Neil kicks us off tonight. Neil, good evening.
Nate, nice to speak to a Buffalo radio host. Nice to speak to you again. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Long time, no speak.
Yes, good to hear you from you.
You know, Brandon Bean, that ass hat, goes on W.
All right, well. Let's go to Mike. Let's try Mike. Mike, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Mike.
I'll keep it a little bit clean.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
All right, but, you know, I've been calling in for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and GR hosts have been telling me we don't need a wide receiver. Wrong. We need one. The running game has been working for the first four games of the season. And it has been, and we've been going to the well. And then they say, well, we're running Cook too much. Guys, we need a number one wide receiver to keep everybody out the box and keep everything flowing. Kincaid is our only bright spot as a receiving core. I think Khalil Shakir is what he is. But we need a number one wide receiver. I'm tired of Mike Shope telling me we don't. I'm sick of it. It needs to happen. And without one, we're going to play small ball, and you better have enough firepower to go up against the Chiefs, who look like they're getting all the speed and all their weapons back at the right time. You know, with all of that said, I still think the Bills are a great team, but you need that. You want to compete with the big boys? Go do what the Detroit Lions are doing. Go do what the Kansas City Chiefs are doing. Go do what the Eagles did last year. Get talented people on your team, in particular wide receivers. And you need one. They're kind of important.
Thanks for the call, Mike. Yeah, I don't know. I would say most people here say talk about receivers like as almost a bit. So I don't know. I don't know. I think if you're calling the station and saying we're not talking about receivers enough, I don't know what station you're listening to. Yes, receiver's a problem, and it's been a problem for, I don't know, since Stephon Diggs left. And, boy, he sure looked good tonight. 10 for 146, I think. Was that the total there for Stephon Diggs? Yeah, it was 10 for 146. So, yeah, he certainly looked good. You mentioned Dalton Kincaid. I thought it was Kincaid's best season or best game as a pro. And it was a big game for him. But at receiver, no one else really did anything else. Shakir, 6 for 45. I agree with you, Mike. You know, he is what he is. He's a number two receiver and a really damn good one. But you're right. The Bills don't have a number one. And it's not Keon Coleman, it's not Josh Palmer, it's not Curtis Samuel. But I'm going to be really interested to see what the splits look like after this game, because it felt like the Patriots ran a ton of man coverage against the Bills, and they didn't separate, they couldn't get open. Today feels like the game you probably want to have Elijah Moore not making his first, you know, healthy scratch of the season. He's probably your one guy against man coverage you probably want to put out more there than, you know, Keon Coleman, who's, I guess, great in those, you know, 50-50 balls, which... they were 1 for 4 on today. So, yeah. I mean, the same issues plagued this team. I think part of this conversation is they gave up 23 points today. And I do feel I need to say that defensively, I do think they did enough to win this game. Having said that, just another really, really frustrating performance from this Bills defense. Can't get home with four. When they blitzed, they let Drake May just break contain outside, and he just beat them out of structure all night long in the pass game. There wasn't a lot inside structure, inside the pocket that Drake May today did against this Bills defense that caused them to lose this game. It was mostly out of structure. Their Bills' inability to tackle, which to me is the number one concern I have for this defense when, you know, Ed Oliver gets back, and, you know, we'll see if Max Hairston gets back this season, and, you know, they get Michael Hoyt, and what? Taron Johnson is the biggest defender so far through five games. I mean, he can't tackle anybody. And Shaq Thompson's been their best player defensively, I think, for the most part this year when he's been on the field. And now we're looking at Matt Milano, who did not play in the second half due to a pec injury. I can't rely on Matt Milano to play. I can't rely on him to play. They need to be done with it, because having him in and out of the lineup, wasting a roster spot on a guy who you can't trust to just stay on the field. It's just over. It's over for Milano. And luckily, they took a flyer on Shaq Thompson, who, you know, has played for Sean McDermott. I think he's gone back that far. He's been their best linebacker. You know, Terrell Bernard has been very up and down, very hit or miss. And on the other side, you know, Christian Benford, not been as dominant as he was last year. And Greg Rousseau, I thought, had a really strong first half, and he was invisible in the second half. So, you know, the guys they paid this offseason are not performing at a high enough level defensively, and they obviously miss Ed Oliver. There's no doubt about that. He's their best defensive player. But they're not getting enough from their good players. Taron Johnson's not doing enough. He's not been good. And let's hope he's not cooked. I mean, because they really need him. And I don't know at this point how many more games of Trey White the Bills are going to be able to do. I don't know. Everybody loves Trey. He's a great guy to have in the locker room, but anybody watching football last season for LA and for Baltimore, I understand that the vibes were high in training camp, and he, you know, maybe he won the job. The other guy wasn't really healthy enough to really take it from him in the first place, but I don't know. I guess everybody, last week, Pat called in and told me, you know, well, I'm being too critical of this team, and they keep scoring 30 points and keep winning, and winning's a skill, which it is. But, you know, I also kind of, all the things I was complaining about last week all came to fruition, were part of the reason they lost today. So it's, you know, a frustrating game for all of us. Everyone's a little frustrated tonight, and for good reason. It was a frustrating game. I don't know. I guess I probably blocked out a lot of 2017 from my brain and 2018. But for me, this was Rex Ryan level frustrating to watch. This was Doug Marrone frustrating levels to watch from this out of this Bills team beat themselves against a team they should have ran away from. The Patriots made enough plays in this game, but man, you know, just a worse team beat you. That's, and sometimes that's going to happen in the NFL. They flirted with it last week, a bad football team in New Orleans coming here at 1 o'clock and almost beating you on your home turf. And then, you know, that Thursday night game against the Dolphins wasn't a lot better. I mean, that Dolphins team just gave up 206 yards to Rico Dowdle. So, you know, but God forbid, you know, you mention any of this. Zach said this during break. I'm kind of glad they lost too, because now we can all freely talk about the issues. And the Eagles, the same thing with the Eagles, right? Now everybody can stop sort of walking and tiptoeing around the issues that the Eagles are experiencing on offense, because they lost to a team they're better than today. And now everybody in Philadelphia can just be like, okay, can we talk about how bad this offense is? And I'm not here to tell you I think the Bills' offense is bad, but there are momentary lapses in judgment in play calls. Just not good play calls in moments that need play calls. And, you know, an end around to Dawson Knox? What are we doing? I mean, that's... Joey, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Joey.
Hey, Nate, what's going on?
Many times.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing, man.
Hey, I know I'm going to get cut off because you're going to have to go to Sean McDermott when he speaks. However, I'm very sorry to say this. I'm not trying to be rude. Can you keep me on the line when this happens?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thanks. Because first of all, for everybody listening, we are 4-1. We're on top of the AFC, okay? There has been two teams in the regular season that have gone undefeated in the regular season, the 1972 Miami Dolphins and the 2007 New England Patriots. We were never going undefeated. And honestly, when I saw the schedule come out, I saw Baltimore that first game, their revenge game. I thought we were going to lose that game, and then we were just going to win every game up to the bye. So at this point, I already thought we were going to be 4-1. A couple points. Yeah, the officiating, horrible. Ed Hockley, whatever. It doesn't matter. We played sloppy. We beat ourselves. Drake May is a great quarterback. He's showing how good he is. And it's, you know, when you're undefeated, there's so much pressure. And if you're talking about probabilities, as you keep winning games and you are undefeated, remember the Steelers a couple of years ago, Nate, when they were 11-0, they had a better chance of losing the game than winning the game. You know what I mean? It's just, it's bound to happen. Nobody's perfect. What I will say is we obviously didn't come to play sloppy. The Dawson Knox end around, that was a cool play if it worked, but because it didn't, you're scratching your head and you're like, why are we doing this to Dawson Knox? I also thought our defensive scheme, I don't know. I saw the Patriots' offensive game plan from the second drive. I knew what they were doing, you know, and I just have one concern. Our defensive line is playing a lot better than I thought, but we're just not getting to the quarterback. We're not bringing him down. Like, and for anybody who knows football, you know that if the defensive line is going to get to the quarterback, he's got less time to throw to your receivers, which makes your cornerbacks and your safeties more vulnerable to break up passes and get picks. All I'm saying is we are 4-1. It's not even the middle of October. We still have Josh Allen. I would trust Josh Allen on the field as my quarterback over anybody.
Joey, I don't disagree with you. I trust Josh Allen, too. Josh Allen is very rarely the issue. I mean, he's just very rarely the issue. Here's Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
The performance we were looking for. Thought we beat ourselves, turned the ball over 3 times. They get 10 points. We get 1 takeaway. Don't get any points off it. Just not enough complimentary football. Just didn't seem like we were into a rhythm offensively enough. And when we did, we had penalties, self-inflicted wounds, and early on in the game, and then this second half, I didn't think the pass defense was good enough. Gave up some chunks there, which hurt us, and so just not enough overall. And we got to learn from this, and we will.
Do you feel like the problem with the offense really started with the run game, just not being able to establish it?
Yes and no. I mean, I feel like, you know, you definitely have to establish a line of scrimmage early in the game. I think some of those situations were, you know, we're behind the sticks off schedule because of some of the self-inflicted wounds, and then we put the ball on the turf. Just not a winning formula right there.
John, do you feel like your wide receivers are winning enough downfield?
Well, there's one-on-ones, you know, every game. There's one-on-ones, and you want to make sure you're winning those. So we'll evaluate that, and we look at it on film. And same thing on the defensive side. There's one-on-ones there, and you got to win those, and or win more than you lose, right? So so I thought our guys fought. They played hard, but this is one we need to learn from, and, you know, some of those things, and then, you know, schematically and and then just fundamentally, you start with the fundamentals, right, of winning football. Usually it's us taking the ball away three times to none, and in this case it was the other way.
Sean, you know all about Diggs and Stephon, the way he can play. What was happening tonight? Was it scheme-related? Was it him making plays? What did you see, at least initially?
A little bit of both. Yeah, a little bit of both. You know, and, you know, the quarterback got out of the pocket and extended some plays a little bit on some of those as well. So, it wasn't just one thing. You know, we had a pressure on one side, and we didn't set the edge with the contained player, and that was the one down our sideline there, and I think that was the third quarter there. So it was a combination of things, and, you know, overall we got to be better.
Also, there was a couple lack of finish plays. Twice on that last drive, in fact, you had them for sacks and didn't finish those plays. That's got to be frustrating.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is. So, again, these are things we have to learn from, and it's got to start with, like I said, with the fundamentals. You cannot turn the ball over and expect to win three times. And then the field position is a 10-yard difference. Let's just start there, and then we get into the rest of it, which there's things that need to improve in that area as well. So, but for me, that's where I start. You got to take care of the football. You look at the stats, the numbers don't lie, right? It's you turn the ball over three times, and you get one, you're down, you're negative two on the turnover differential. So that's not a winning formula.
Sean, the unforced errors and penalties tonight, just your thoughts on the volume of them.
Yeah. You know, again, it hurts, it affects the rhythm of an offense. You know, and you make it hard when you're off schedule due to penalties. So I think it was 8-1 or 8-2 at halftime in terms of the penalty count. So we've got to look at those and learn from them, and that's what we got to do.
Coach, you're going to take a look at the tape and correct some things, but mentally, where do you want the guys to bounce back from this one?
Yeah, this is the NFL, right? It's hard every week, and you know, like I said, I told the team, I said usually we do what they did. And so in doing so, we didn't play our game tonight, and that's frustrating. And, you know, this is pivotal learning opportunity for us right here. So there were some other moments where I just feel like maybe we're too cute at times. And you know, just overall, we gotta look at some things and just be honest with ourselves and learn from it holistically here. Offense, defense, and special teams, it's never one player. It's never one side of the ball. I thought the special teams covered their explosive return game rather well, so that was a plus. But again, just overall, a more complimentary approach.
Hey, Sean, did Matt Milano re-aggravate the same ankle?
Yeah, that's what I heard. It was his pec at halftime. I don't have any more details right now, Joe, but I'll probably have something next day or two here for you.
Sean, you could have really created some distance in the division. Now it's suddenly a race. Does that help maybe in terms of getting your guys focused again? Because, you know, it could have been an easy street there for a little while if you'd won this game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, woulda, shoulda, coulda, right? So it's the NFL, it's highly competitive, and it teaches the lessons fast. And, you know, we've got some young guys on our team in that locker room that, you know, they'll learn from this, and the entire team needs to learn from this. So, you know, we're capable of playing better and performing at a higher level. Again, you just get off to a rough start when you're not taking care of the football and you're not being able to execute and stay on schedule. So we played the game that they wanted us to play. In terms of, as soon as we put the ball on the turf, the first one, you know, there it was, because they needed to. If I'm them, I'm thinking, hey, I got to steal an extra possession somehow, and they got it right off the bat, and we did it. It wasn't anything they did, but again, all learning opportunities for us as a team, and that's what we need to do.
Particularly in the first half, what did you think of defense, you know, with a bunch of those turnovers?
Yeah, I thought the defense, you know, I mean, I think we had two turnovers in the first half, only gave up 3 points. And so, I mean, I thought the defense was playing good defense in the first half, and in the second half gave up some chunks in the passing game, which we can't do, so we got to look at that. You know, so it's just everyone playing well together at the same time. That's kind of how, you know, it kind of went, where we weren't playing well together in a complementary way, and because of that, we couldn't get in rhythm as a team overall.
Is that inconsistency with the defense and sort of maybe the growing pains with having some younger players?
I don't want to use that as an excuse. I'm not going to do that. It's, you know, it's execution. It's, you know, again, making sure they're in the right positions. And, you know, they made some adjustments. The Patriots made some adjustments at halftime, and then we adjusted. But that first drive after half, you know, was kind of bang, bang, bang. And, you know, I expect more from us there. But then we made some adjustments, and then they still made some plays, you know, and some of those one-on-one situations, I think in particular that backed up series right there on our sideline. So two of them were quarterback out of the pocket, you know, scramble situations, I believe. So,
Sean, was that first fumble, the end around to Dawson, was that supposed to be a handoff to Dawson? Was that supposed to be a fake and he just kind of got there a second too early?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was supposed to be a handoff. So, All right, thank you, guys.
All right, there's Bills head coach Sean McDermott, and Sean McDermott's post-game media conference is presented by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Before we take a timeout, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
More reaction to the Bills 23-20 loss on the other side. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
Apply, app only. It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to pass, fires back in the end zone, complete to Keon Coleman. Agent Zero with a 2-yard touchdown reception. And the Bills pull to within 4 with an extra point pending.
Chris Brown on the call there. Welcome back. Buffalo Bills postgame here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Nick Geary in our Amherst studios. Let's get back to the phone to get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Let's go to Nate in Corning, has been waiting patiently. Nate, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Nate.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, bear with me on this one. So last night I watched a UFC fighter who was one of the most dominant fighters I've ever seen and dominant champions lose his title in March to a decision, and then last night regained his title in dominant fashion. And I'm paraphrasing here, what he said in the post-fight speech was basically, because the guy spoke Portuguese, was basically, I quit worrying about what he was going to do to me, and I just went out and did what I could do to him and dominate him in the first round. And that's what the Bills are with Josh Allen. They worry so much about what everyone can do to them, including drafting and everything else, you know, defense, this and that, and they don't get wide receivers or whatever for the best player that is in the NFL, that in just game plan for – no, people should be game planning for Josh Allen. And this is why we lose football games. We should not lose. We have the best player in the league. And it's this, whether there's coaching, GM, or what, but feed that beast, and we will never be in this position. That's all I got to say.
I'm just not really following. I mean, Josh Allen didn't have a bad game. I mean, he played okay. He didn't have a great game, but I mean, I think the problem is Josh Allen's holding onto the ball for 5, 6, 7 seconds, rolling out, holding on, trying to evade tacklers, and no one's open. Just no one's open. So, you know, everybody eats, but everybody eats until they can't get open, and then it's hard for everybody to eat, I guess. Charlie in Lancaster, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Charlie.
Hey, Nate, how are you doing?
Good, man.
Yeah, I'm not doing too great, but, you know, I hate everybody on the Bills defense except for number 44, Joe Andreessen. He needs to get on the starting rotation. I think he is the answer for the Bills defense. He is the spark plug. He provides it. I'm going to hang up and listen to what you think, but, you know, I think he's the spark plug. Go Bills, go Sabres.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie. I don't know. Backup linebackers is really the, you know, spark plug they need, to be honest. Let's go to Mike in Denver. Mike, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Yes. I guess I just want to start by this team. They actually found ways to basically lose this game between the penalties and, obviously, I mean, turnovers are one thing. I mean, you're never going to win too many games with losing the turnover battle. But, I mean, when it comes to this third down again, this seems to be an issue. It seems like third down and long, I'm telling my girlfriend, I said, oh, geez, whoever they're playing, I'm saying, oh, this team's got the Bills exactly where they want them on third and long, because I just cannot understand the philosophy on third down, and it's just so aggravating. And then, like you had brought up earlier, the lack of consistency with the defensive line. I've had it with Rousseau. This guy is hit and miss, and then they got this Bosa, and they're just not getting. They've had a virtual carousel of players on that defensive line over the last 5 years. They just cannot find consistency on a year-to-year basis with defensive linemen.
And it's definitely not for a lack of trying, Mike. I mean, they spend more draft capital on this defensive line than I think most teams do in the NFL. Landon Jackson finally makes his, you know, season debut week 5. Did he play? I don't know. You know, he's our third-round pick. Second-round pick couldn't play today with an injury. First-round pick's injured. Yeah, you know, it'd be nice to have some contributions from the top of your draft class. Luckily, Deion Walker's been playing really well. They're just not getting contributions from their draft class, from their free agency class, because the two guys they picked up in free agency are still suspended. And Shaq Thompson, I know the previous caller wants to see more Joe Andreessen, but Shaq Thompson is probably playing the best out of any of the linebackers right now that you have. But, you know, Andreessen might see some time, because I don't think Matt Milano is going to be playing for much longer. Yeah, so let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Mike.
Hey, I have always been a pro McDermott guy. I know he's gotten a lot of flack in the past, but I feel like we need to talk about how these past few games he hasn't had his team ready to play. We're playing down to the competition. I mean, besides the Patriots, what team? No team has more than 2 wins. I mean, we thought the Ravens were going to be the Ravens, but they're not this year. And no other team has played well, and we just keep playing down. And that's always been a strength of what I thought McDermott in the past. I've heard Eric Wood on his podcast talk about it, how he always has the guys ready to go. But this year, we're always playing down to the competition is what it seems like. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. Listen, a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was even last week, in the pregame with Joe DiBiase and myself on the lead up to the New Orleans games, it was hard for me to accept the idea that, you know, they play down to their competition. There just wasn't a lot of examples of them doing it. In fact, it was like really only one or two examples in the Sean McDermott, Josh Allen era where it was like very obvious they were just playing down to their competition. I'm not sure that it was a playing down of the competition. Maybe it is. Maybe they're just not as good as we think they are. It could be it as well. Maybe they're closer to those teams, the New Orleans and the Dolphins, than they are the best teams in the league. And I think it's very obvious to me that the Baltimore Ravens are not who people thought they were going to be coming into the season, right? I know they're dealing with a slew of injuries as well. But, you know, I think for me, that win is looking like a little less and less impressive as the weeks go on. And you kind of are who you are. Like, you can't really run from your reality. And the Bills right now are a team that I think can play from ahead, I think can find ways to play from behind. But I think the same exact issues that have plagued them for 5 years are the same exact issues that plague them now. They can't tackle. When they lose, they beat themselves. They are overly reliant on Josh Allen. And the only thing they could really do is hope that Josh could just make plays off schedule, because everything on schedule wasn't working. Their receivers were not, in the context of their scheme and in their plays, getting open in a consistent enough basis that Josh felt comfortable with anybody other than Dalton Kincaid. He was the only guy getting open tonight, was Dalton Kincaid. And then you got four 50-50 balls to Keon Coleman. You know, you're effectively your first-round pick of last year. I know he's a second-round pick, but, you know, effectively your first guy you took last year. That's the only play you can do with him. That's it. That's all you have with Keon Coleman, is a 50-50 ball. And they're not even 50-50. He won one of the four today. So, yeah, just it's frustrating offensively. The offense, to me, I can live with what's happening on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, who's even playing? You know? I mean, no Ed Oliver, no Maxwell Hairston. I don't know what he is even when they're in the lineup. And obviously no Michael Hoyt, no Larry Ogunjobi, no TJ Sanders. So you've got, I don't even know the guy that was playing at defensive tackle today, Mathis. I forgot what his first name was. So, like, in fairness, let's keep that in the context. And I do think that the Bills did enough defensively to keep them in this game. Their offense just was piss poor. And that's just a direct quote from Josh Allen. Let's grab one more phone call before we take a timeout. Let's go to Matt in Cheektowaga. Matt, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Matt.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
This is Nate.
Long time fan of the show.
Great.
I guess I just want to hear your opinion on this and kind of understand just where they're coming from. When are they going to finally hold the secondary accountable for just giving up every single big play? I mean, you look at it tonight, and they made Stephon Diggs look like he did back in 2020. He looked like this all-pro wide receiver. We got rid of him because he was a problem, and now he's burning Trey White. He's burning all the guys in the back. I don't know really what to say more beyond that. It's just like, when are they going to realize that there's a problem in the secondary and answer that problem with either trades or looking into guys on free agency? I don't know. I'm kind of just at a loss for words. It's been a bad night, as they say. You know, I'll try and hold the heart there, but I guess what's your thoughts on the secondary there? Do you see any kind of light at the end of the tunnel?
I mean, I'm not sure. I don't know what other reinforcements they have coming, right? I mean, they have a first-round pick who could potentially make his way back this season. I don't know what you have in him. I mean, he missed most of training camp. I don't know what accountability you want. What sort of you want to bench somebody? You want to put DeMar Hamlin back in the game? I don't know. The problem is their window to address these issues has come and gone. You do that in March. It's October. I mean, maybe there's a Rasul Douglas-type trade that you can go out there and make. And I've been saying for a couple weeks now, Tariq Woolen. But they've got no cap space. They're largely aging on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, again, Matt Milano, out with an injury today, plays a half. He's out again. I would assume his season's probably going to be over. I don't know. I just don't know where accountability's coming from. They can't really sit guys because they don't have good backups behind them. So thank you for the call. 803-0550 is the number to call. We're going to take a timeout. We'll continue getting connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. We'll also get you on the other side, an eye on the quarterback, and we'll also get you some live locker room reaction from the locker room, of course, brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. More of your calls in reaction on the other side of the Bills' 23-20 loss to the New England Patriots. This is Buffalo Bills football.
And now Samuel in motion. Goes in an orbit motion and now doubles back out to the left. He's wide open. Five, and he'll skip into the end zone for the touchdown. Oh, the late double back motion left Curtis Samuel wide open.
Chris Brown on the call. That was the Curtis Samuel touchdown. I think think it was the first touchdown of the game, I believe, something like that. Well, welcome back. The Bills lose 23-20. We're taking calls, getting your reaction, getting connected with our fans, as always, brought to you by Verizon, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Let's get back to it. We'll also get you some locker room sound as soon as it becomes available to us. Let's go to Pat. Pat, you're on the postgame show. Good evening, Pat.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Hey, I mean, listen, man, I don't know how many more times I can stomach hearing you got to be better at complimenting football, situational football. This is, you know, going on since 13 seconds, and I just feel that, you know, he's coaching away Josh Allen's prime. We're not always going to be able to depend on winning the turnover battle. He has hijacked the draft from Brandon Bean. And, you know, to say that the head coach had nothing to do with the early scripted calls, which killed the game, is just insane. You know, end around the Dawson Knox when you have James Cook, who is playing at an MVP level, I think it's just crazy. And, you know, he also burned two timeouts at the end of the first half, which almost cost him seven, which wouldn't have mattered, but I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Pat. Yeah, listen, I mean, I also don't know exactly what you could even say if you're Sean McDermott in this situation, right? I mean, I think it's pretty obvious what the Bills did today to lose. But I also think the writing was on the wall. And again, I think it's easier to call out the issues this team is having, both offensively and defensively, after a loss. You guys don't want to hear it after a win. And I get it. If I was on the other side of the microphone and I was listening to a post-game show after a Bills game, I probably don't want to hear after a win what the Bills did wrong in the win. I get it. But it is this loss had been 2 weeks into the making. It had been eight straight quarters of pretty mediocre football and the Bills finding ways to win. I thought they should have lost last week, to be honest. And I knew the second they settled for that field goal that at the towards the end of this game, because it's first down, second down, third down and 10 now, and Josh Allen's just waiting and waiting and waiting and hoping someone gets open. You know, what's going to happen? They've got Houston in a couple weeks. Houston might be the best defense in football. Kansas City's got a good defense. Atlanta's got a pretty decent defense. They're going to get after the Bills. So, we'll see. I mean, they play Cleveland, too. That's a darn good defense. They're not going to face Cleveland or probably Houston. I mean, Houston handled the Ravens today. Handled. I don't know. Let's go to Butch on the east side. Butch, thanks for waiting on hold. What's up, man?
My friend Nate, thanks for taking my call. I love WGR. I love MSG, and to all the fans who listen and watch this show, I love you. Get home safely. Let me get right to it, Nate. And Zach said something to you earlier, which I concur. And he said, now since the loss, we can start addressing what's been going on prior to the loss. And now people could be more openly and willing to accept the truth because of the L that we have now. Let me say this to you. Joe Brady, I've been saying this for months. He does not know how to design plays for outside receivers besides jump balls or back shoulder fades. That's it. When Stephon Diggs, if you recall back when Dorsey gave the job over, lost the job, and Brady took over, we finished the season out. That same summer coming back, we had a new playbook. Diggs came in and went into the office to ask him about the playbook. We made it seem like Diggs had an attitude. No. If you don't believe on that one, you look at Palmer, you look at the gentleman that we got from Cleveland Browns last year in a trade. None of the receivers are in the games, not unless, like you said, Nate, if Josh Allen improvises and makes plays. When you said Josh is waiting and waiting and waiting, it's because Joe Brady cannot design plays for outside receivers. In the slot, tight ends, Joe can do as he say everyone eats. That's on the offensive side of the ball. Defensive side of the ball, thanks for taking my call, Nate, is that enough is enough. Sean McDermott's defense that he brought from Carolina is stale. It's molded. I don't care how you dress it up. I don't care how many blitzes you try to do. Brandon Bean has brought enough talent, speed, and talent to have a better defense than what we do. But Sean is going to try to force feed this thing to us, and it's not going to work. Reason why Diggs played like he played today is because he's been playing against these guys in practice since he's been here. He knows the defense. And guess what? People look at Diggs like he's washed up. No, Tre'Davious White is washed up. This defense that Sean McDermott called Bend But Don't Break is washed up. We have to now address the truth moving forward. And Nate, on this last one, you are right. This is 3 weeks in the making of what happened tonight. And moving forward, I hope they build up that. Josh Allen is not the problem, people. He is not the problem. We have to get better. Thanks for taking my call, Nate, and I love you, man.
Yeah, sure thing, Butch. No worries. It's kind of, in one way, saying that McDermott's scheme isn't doing it anymore and Brandon Bean's giving him enough players that they should be better on defense, and then also saying that Trey White's washed. That's who the general manager's giving them right now. You know, like, that's their offseason plan was to draft a first-round corner, got hurt, and now Trey White's starting, and the other rookie that was playing well, he's now hurt, and Dorian Strong, he's on the IR. They're running out of bodies, but I don't think that they put enough good bodies, to me, on the back end in the first place. So let's get a quick eye on the quarterback. It's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business, is protecting your business. Josh Allen in this game, 22 of 31, 253, two touchdowns, an interception. He had a passer rating of 103.3. He also added 53 yards on 9 carries on the ground. Let's take a timeout on the other side. We'll get you some live reaction from the locker room as we got that piling in now. We'll also get more of your phone calls at 803-0550. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. All right, welcome back to Buffalo Bills postgame here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. I'm Nate Geary. The Bills drop one. They are the first of the season. 23-20 to the New England Patriots, game-winning kick at the end, and a lot of frustration from this game. And we're going to hear from Cole Bishop here in just a moment. Before we do, let's grab Nate on his cell phone. Nate, welcome to the postgame show. Good evening.
Awesome. Thank you. Longtime listener, Spider-Man meme, Nate to Nate here.
Love it.
Awesome. So just want to talk about, I was taking a look at Josh's stats. Great, 100-plus QBR, but we have a fumble and a turnover in the red zone. When he started his career, I believe he had the longest streak of no picks of passes in the red zone. Cost us the game. It's a 10-point turn right there.
Yeah.
On what we're doing. He's also holding the ball way too long, but I don't know if that's his fault. We aren't getting off of man coverage. That was the problem last year. I know being called into the same radio station and chirped you guys for saying we needed a receiver, but maybe you guys were right. We needed somebody who can separate. Keon can go up and get it, but he can't separate. I don't understand what we're doing. And the highest pick we spent, just total mismanagement of draft assets with by being this year. We have 8 picks. The top pick on offense is our third string tight end who essentially replaced Alex Anderson, man. I don't know what we're trying to do, but we're handcuffing our golden retriever, our unicorn on quarterback. He wins us. He's going to win a Super Bowl, but he can't put on the Superman cape every single week. And it's getting a little frustrating. It's like the Packers fans where they were drafting first round linebackers for 8 years during Aaron Rodgers' career. What are we doing? Like, we got this talent out here, and I don't know. It's like having a Ferrari putting on freaking sand treads. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Nate. In fairness, I do like Jackson Haas. He's been a nice little addition. But yeah, I mean, right now your top two picks aren't in the lineup because they're injured, and your third one made his debut, but really hasn't. I mean, I'm not sure if he played. I think he probably played a handful of snaps. Didn't notice him out there. This is part of the frustration. There's no doubt about it. All right, let's go to the locker room and hear from Bill's safety, Cole Bishop. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
With Stephon, how much of what happened tonight was schematic? How much it was a great player making great plays?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have pretty similar answers to you, I'm sure. Obviously, we got to watch the tape. He's a great player. But, like, for the most part, we should be able to execute every call against everything, you know? So I'm sure there's a lot of stuff coming up.
Penalties, big story tonight. Where does it start to make sure that doesn't happen again?
Yeah, just fundamentals. Like I said, I mean, have to watch the film. I can't speak on every penalty. I don't know exactly what happened on all of them. But, yeah, just got to clean it up.
They had a lot of success when he was able to scramble outside the pocket. How hard was it with the them extending plays and keeping them alive?
Yeah, I mean, every quarterback in the NFL now seems like they're a mobile quarterback. So it makes it significant. Like, it's a lot more difficult. So just being able to figure out and get that cleaned up.
I mean, there's mobile, and then there's, you know, the play he made where he's halfway to the ground and gets the first down. And there's also doing it here against you guys, you know, in this environment. I mean, this isn't just, you know, second quarter against a team that's 3-5. This is a big game. Was there anything different in the way Drake played beyond just being mobile that you think allowed him to make the plays he made tonight?
It's honestly hard to say without watching because, I mean, my eyes are on my assignment. You know, if I'm on a receiver, I can't see what he's got going on back there. You just kind of see the end of the play. So I really can't speak on it, but obviously he did some good things.
They didn't really throw the ball downfield very much. And was that a concentration you guys to make sure you kept everything underneath, make them work for everything they had?
Yeah, I mean, that's every week. Don't give up explosives. That's one of our philosophies. So, again, I don't know the stats. I don't know exactly how many explosives they had, but trying to limit explosives is always a big thing.
What allowed you guys to hold them to a field goal after that fumble?
You talking about at the very end?
The beginning. I mean, when.
Yeah. Just being ready. Sudden change is the thing we talked about, being ready to go. So, obviously, that was big. But obviously there's still a lot of stuff we got to clean up. So,
all right, there's Bills safety Cole Bishop. We're going to hear from Shaq Thompson here in just a moment. Before we do, let's grab one more phone call. Let's go to Casey in Lewiston. Casey, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say a couple of things. The first thing is I'm really happy for Stephon Diggs. I know it came at the expense of us in the game, but he cooked our secondary. And that just kind of goes to a lot of the issues that we are dealing with on defense. I think the whole defense is cooked at this point, and I think we're also going to be looking at a whole another – this is looking far ahead, but I think next year's draft class is going to be pretty much all defensive players again, and we're going to just keep running it back with, you know, retreads like Shaq Thompson and Trey White and stuff like that. I think it's terrible that we drafted Keon Coleman – and the only thing he can do is a fade route to the sideline for a jump ball that he gets one out of four times a game, like you said earlier. And, you know, Jordan Palmer, our, you know, big free agent acquisition, and, you know, he's good for a couple passes each game. But we need a Stephon Diggs. We need a guy that can do every single route in the route tree and that can separate and break coverages and is just a game changer. And until we get that, we will not get past the AFC Championship. We just will not do it with the style of offense that we have now. And it's, you know, we're not going to trade for that guy. It's too expensive. We're not going to do like what the Bengals did with Chase and Higgins. So until we can draft that guy and develop him, it's not going to work out.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Casey. Listen, I know it's Keon is kind of just who we thought he was going to be, right? And he's their answer at boundary. So is and a perceived positive, a thing that I think is a strength of the Bills is how multiple they can be with personnel groupings. I think it's becoming too much. They need their best players on the field. And I like Tyrell Shavers. I like, you know, Dawson Knox. But those guys are not your best players and they shouldn't be on the field as much as they are. Dawson Knox needs to be on the field more. Josh Palmer probably needs to be on the field more. And I don't know. I'm starting to lose confidence. Not that I feel like I had a whole, you know, bountiful harvest of confidence in Keon Coleman and what he was going to be. But yeah, I mean, he's a one-trick pony right now on the outside. And if he can't be your boundary receiver, I'm going to need to see more Josh Palmer then, if he can run a full route tree. I know it's nice to have Keon Coleman in the red zone and the one-off 50-50 ball and a back shoulder here and a back shoulder there, but, I mean, that's not a sustainable form of offense. It's just not sustainable. I like Shaq Thompson, by the way. I don't know if it was you or the previous caller that took a pot shot at Shaq Thompson. I think he's actually been probably their best pickup, and I tweeted that probably says a lot about the rest of the guys that they brought in. 803-0550, the numbers to call to get connected with our fans. Of course, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to take a timeout. We're going to go till about 110, 115 here. We're going to replay you, Josh Allen, in the next segment. We'll also hear from Bills linebacker Shaq Thompson. We're going to play Shaq from you now live from the locker room. And then Shaq Thompson is brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Buffalo Bills postgame here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. I'm Nate Geary. We'll go back to the phones, and then we'll hear from Josh Allen. We missed the beginning of Josh Allen's press conference this evening just by how quickly he hit the podium right after the game. So we're going to play that back for you here in just a moment. Before we do, let's get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. And a reminder, locally, once we break from the Buffalo Bills Radio Network here, which, by the way, we should probably pause 10 seconds so that our stations along our network can identify themselves. So we'll do that now, and you're listening to the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Sports Radio 550 WGR Buffalo and WKSE HD2 Niagara Falls Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
An Odyssey Sports Station.
All right, let's get connected with our fans, and let's grab Brian in Amherst, has been waiting patiently. Brian, you're on the postgame show. Good evening.
Hi, Nate. I think the one thing that stood out to me tonight was that Drake May reminded me a lot of a very young Josh Allen. And by that, he created a ton of plays off schedule, rolling to his right, finding guys that hugged the sideline, and made big plays out of it. Yes, he had two or three big throws over the middle to the tight end, Henry. But when you forced Drake May to dink and dunk, there wasn't much there. He's got Diggs and nobody else to throw to. And their run game was inefficient for them all night long. It just, to me, it comes down to a discipline of what are your defensive ends going to do to hem the quarterback in the pocket? Drake May was wildly average when you kept him in the pocket.
Yeah, agreed with that.
Let him break and roll right. It was very reminiscent of young Josh Allen. The other thing that really kind of just grinded my gears beyond the cuteness, two things. One, I don't want to hear anybody gushing about how much of a genius Mike Vrabel is. The decision to kick the field goal going into halftime was absolutely idiotic.
Yeah.
And probably should have cost them the game if the Bills didn't beat themselves. But the second thing is, we could talk about the tight end played at Knox where he fumbled the football. That's all fine and dandy. Should never happen. That's being too cute. But they had second and four at the four-yard line and could have ran the ball three times to get the ball into the end zone. Instead, they run a screen that gets called for offensive pass interference. How many times can you run a screen and get called for offensive pass interference? I know it doesn't happen every game, but it's Sean Hockley. You know he throws flags. You have to adjust. And if you can't make that adjustment, don't run that play in that situation. And then you find yourself in a position where Josh forces the ball throwing across his body. But the other thing that drives me absolutely nuts is that I think the overlooked thing
in tonight's game was the Bills weren't able to effectively run the ball. And the reason why they weren't able to effectively run the ball is the same way they get screwed in the playoffs every year. It's they have the opposing team, namely Kansas City, has one dude who plays interior defensive line who's awesome. And for Kansas City, that's Chris Jones. And for New England, you go back and watch the tape, Christian Barmore tonight was awesome. And they have no answer for that.
And Milton Williams, he was darn good too.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were awesome. And when you have no run game, and the use of Ray Davis is beyond confusing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm done. There's really no need to.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done with Ray Davis, but the bottom line for me is they need a guy with speed that can separate offensively, and they've got to get Josh some help there. But defensively, you beat yourself tonight, and you made Drake May look really, really good. And if Drake May is going to be continuing to do that, let's not talk about this Patriots team like there's some slouches. Like, they can rack some wins with that schedule. That's it. I got to have.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Brian. Listen, I know you said a lot, but it's you were pretty spot on. Yeah, it was reminiscent of 2021 Josh Allen, that's for sure. All right, let's go to the podium and hear from Bills quarterback Josh Allen, who spoke with the media a little while ago, and it's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
The first half, what do you think the issues were that you couldn't really get any rhythm going with the offense?
We just played sloppy. Not going to win a football game turning the ball over three times in our red zone. Gave them one in their red zone. That's just bad, bad football, and we just did not play good tonight.
After that, you got a little more rhythm maybe in the second half. What changed for you? Was it just a matter of not making the same mistakes you guys were making in the first half?
Yeah. Just trying to find a rhythm and get into a good rhythm. Obviously, Dalton Kincaid played fantastic tonight. We got to carry that over and got to find a way to win that one. But again, we shouldn't have even been in it with three turnovers. So that's just piss poor offense.
Josh, they seem to try to get Dalton out of the game in the second half. What were they doing to keep him out of the game?
Meaning what now?
He did better in the first half, but in the second half, they seemed to take him out of the game more.
I thought he played good throughout the entire game. Again, we'll watch the film and move on.
Josh, what happened on the first turnover, the end around to Dawson?
Yeah, just a bad snap exchange.
Does this feel like a game where that you guys lost the game more than they wanted? Not to take anything away from them, but you feel like you guys really opened the door for them?
I mean, respect to them. They came in. They knew what they had to do. They took care of the football. We didn't. You know, it was if you look at it from the paper point of view, I mean, a pretty pivotal game in terms of what we could have done with this. And we didn't take advantage of our opportunity. Again, I thought our defense played well, and they bailed us out a couple times. But just not going to win many NFL games turning the ball over three times.
The running game seemed to struggle a little bit today also. It just didn't seem like you guys got your rhythm throughout the course of the game. What were they doing some things that took you guys out of sync?
I mean, yeah, they were making it hard to run. They were getting a push up front. Yeah, they had a good game plan, so we gotta adjust.
Dalton's first career 100-yard game. Just what was he doing well tonight?
He's beating man coverage. Saw a lot of it tonight. You know, he's doing a good job of being friendly and making some plays and. Yeah.
That said, it didn't seem like a lot of other guys were winning downfield for you tonight. Josh, can you kind of tell us just what you were seeing there?
Yeah, I mean, got to throw it, got to catch it. Again, turning the ball over in the red zone, I can't do that. That's just, again, that's a recipe for disaster.
Do you think you need more? I mean, Keon had a touchdown, but like Josh Palmer was really quiet again. It just seemed like it was a quiet night for a lot of guys outside of really Dalton.
Yeah, we'll watch the film and we'll be better.
Sir, you were asked this, but what did you see on the interception and the way that the play developed? And
yeah, playing man. You know, I saw Khalil, and I just left it a little inside, and the kid made a good play.
When
at times it is as much of a struggle, I guess, to put up points. How hard is it not to force throws, specifically like that interception?
I don't think it's that hard. I really don't think that was a force. It was just a bad ball. I thought Khalil did a good job. He was coming friendly, and I just left it inside.
All right, there is Bills quarterback Josh Allen. It's going to do it for us here on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network locally on WGR Sports Radio 550. We will have the overtime show. So if you're hanging out on hold, they will get to all of you during the next, of course, again, locally on WGR, the flagship WGR Sports Radio 550. For me, Nate Geary, Tanner Saunders, we appreciate you listening here. This is Buffalo Bills football.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.